You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that asks that if you need to scream during the show, please scream inside of your heart. I'm Cody, and I'm always screaming inside of my heart.
I'm Sam, and I'm always screaming externally.
And I'm Sam, and I'm just screaming.
Well, thank you all for tuning in this week. We have a great show for you, a bunch of news we're going to go over. But first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
You know, we had talked about the soundboard before we started recording, but it still surprised me.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. I will never not be enthused and excited for this soundboard. So, let's talk about some things we've been doing this past week.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty then.
Oh, yeah. I love it. All right. So, I'll tell you what. I'll do my couple real quick. First one is I got myself caught up on the TV series The Doom Patrol. It is a show that originated on the DC Universe app.
The beloved DC Universe.
The soon-to-be-defunct DC Universe app that the show, in the last couple episodes, openly mocked. But the new season is on HBO Max, and I was able to, you know, pull the last couple episodes from that. I got totally caught up. It is wonderfully weird. It is extremely vulgar, and there is horrible things like sights and sounds, and every other word out of Brendan Fraser's mouth is the F word. It is convoluted and strange. I love it, and I cannot recommend it to anyone I know, because, well, with the exception of maybe you guys. Yeah. Otherwise, it is...
Because I think all those things you said sound awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it is... Okay, so the whole deal with the Doom Patrol, the Cliff Notes version, it is kind of DC's X-Men, kinda. In fact, they debuted before the X-Men, so in a lot of ways, X-Men are kind of ripping off the Doom Patrol, which is weird. They are heroes, kind of. More like just general metahumans that their powers are also like deformities almost. You have Cliff Steele, who is a brain inside a robot body, basically a big copper body voiced by Brendan Fraser. You have the Negative Man, who was horribly burned as a test pilot and emits radiation that he has to keep himself wrapped up like a mummy and can shoot like an energy being out of his chest. And Rita Farr, who is Elastigirl, who was an actress from the 1930s and 40s, who can kind of stretch her limbs, but more often than not just gets kind of weepy and then turns into a blob. The whole point of the series is they are not heroes. They suck. Everything they do is wrong and bad, and they actively make situations worse, but they are there to protect the world from the weirdest, wildest villains and concepts. Some of these things are just so out there concept-wise. I was telling you guys before the show, in episode 2, half the team gets stuck inside a donkey that is also a portal to an alternate dimension. The donkey's throat looks like a keyhole, and that's how they got in. There's an episode where they're hunted by a guy who can track anyone anywhere on Earth or in the known universe if he consumes their beard hair. There is a whole episode devoted to a weird cult about a giant eyeball in the sky that demakes the universe by looking at it. And the way they combat it is by traveling through time and creating their own fake cult about an eyeball that will pop up when the other eyeball also pops up and starts remaking things.
This all sounds very good.
It's wonderful and wacky, and there's a but it's not just the wackiness. It's not just the off-ball weird stuff. It actually gets really deep into the characters' backstories, and you find out that, yeah, they may be kind of monsters and kind of... It's like the team of things, like the thing from the Fantastic Four, if all of the members of the team were kind of like the thing. But as it turns out, they were all basically horrible monster people well before they received their powers. They're all messed up. And there's... I don't think I like a single character on the show. They're all morally reprehensible. They're awful people. They are terrible, awful people. But I keep watching it.
It kind of sounds like Amazon's The Tick if it was unhinged.
Yes. Actually, that sounds about right. The show is grounded by the one actual superhero on the team, Cyborg. He keeps making mentions about trying to get into the Justice League and how he was basically a hero on his own who needed some help with his cybernetics. And the chief, the guy who's in charge of the Doom Patrol, played by Timothy Dalton, goes missing. Also, Alan Tudyk is there, and he has reality-altering abilities, including one of my favorite abilities in comics, the knowledge that you are a fictional character. So he is not only the villain of the series, he is also the narrator and directly addresses the audience multiple times.
Man, he's a busy dude.
He is. Well, the voice and persona that he puts on for his character, Mr. Nobody, is basically the Joker from Harley Quinn, but not pitched up. But it's basic. It's that same kind of act. Also, there is a cockroach that keeps trying to foretell the end of the world, and he's voiced by Booger from Revenge of the Nerds. This show is weird.
Yeah.
Season 2 involves the chief's daughter, who is a little girl, is an immortal little girl with the face of a monkey that can make her imaginary friends come to life.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. And they drop that on you in 5 minutes into episode 1 of season 2. They just start throwing things, and it is difficult. I mean, it's not difficult to follow because they also kind of lay it out, and they kind of lay it on kind of thick. It has a bit of the melodrama, the bit of the DC melodrama, but they're able to get away with a lot more because it's not on any broadcast television station. And unlike Harley Quinn, Doom Patrol's not gonna be on a TV station. There are things that even syndication or whatever other stations, this isn't gonna show up at 11 o'clock on Sci-Fi Channel.
Speaking of Harley Quinn, we did just finish it the other day.
Oh, the second season?
Second season.
I haven't dug too deep into it. Is it good?
Oh, yeah. It holds up that same quality that all the other ones did. It's
good.
Still a very, very good show.
Excellent.
I really hope it gets a season 3. I'm not holding my breath.
Well, yeah.
I didn't think it was going to get a season 2, and it did. So
yeah, I also thought it was going to get chopped because of the whole DC Universe app thing debacle.
And who knows? Maybe HBO Max will pick it up. I hope they pick it up.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
Even if they don't make new ones, more people need to see the show because it's really good.
The thing is, I don't see any merchandising or anything around that show.
That's true.
I mean, you also don't see any around Doom Patrol, really, but that is such a niche kind of thing that it can kind of skirt by it. Plus, there's only 9 episodes in season 2 of that one. But yeah, you would think that Harley Quinn, you would think they would have like action figures or at least the high articulation collector's figure.
Yeah. Or a Funko Pop.
Or a Funko Pop. Yes.
I'd buy a Clayface action figure.
Yes. Also voiced by Alan Tudyk,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, he does Clayface and the Joker. That's probably it. Danger Boat on the Tick.
He was Danger Boat, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about Harley Quinn because it would be spoilers.
Okay, like, well then, yeah.
It does a lot narratively in that last season that is, I don't know if surprising is the word, but it's it does things.
Well, they left season one in such a weird spot at the end of it that they needed. Yeah, I'm wouldn't be surprised if they went some crazy places.
Yeah, they do.
That's it, awesome.
It's worth watching that second season.
That is awesome. Yeah, I will. I might have to dig that one up and, you know, watch that. Okay, so the other thing I checked out this week, I have been playing more Animal Crossing, and they had that big big new patch.
Yeah,
come out.
I've been playing that
too.
Yeah,
we all have.
Yeah. Swimming is so much fun in that game now.
It is.
Right?
It's not like a lot, but it's enough that it's fun.
It's fun and it's fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some just another thing to collect, but that's, you know, that's what you're there for.
Yep. Yep. No, I am enjoying it quite a bit. I have not had the pirate Gulliver show up yet.
I haven't either. I had regular Gulliver.
I did too.
And I just don't talk to him anymore.
Oh, really?
No, I don't want to dig up a bunch of chips. I don't I don't care.
But if you dig them up and then you not use them, give them to him, you can save them and then build a giant robot out of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's where you get the rusted chips. Game hacks.
Yeah.
Getting some sweet game tips. I actually had Red show up on my island for the first time in over a month, and all four of the things were fakes today. So I wasn't able to actually do anything with it.
I bought a fake Rosetta Stone the other day. I'm like, you know what? On second thought, that's very blue.
I almost got the fake Vitruvian Man because it's
a coffee stain.
It's just a coffee stain on it, and that would be cool in my fake digital house. But no, it's been a lot of fun. Still at it.
Yeah. I'm glad they're doing this update over time thing instead of just
me
dumping
too.
All the features at once. It keeps it interesting. It keeps me playing the game instead of getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm. Same here, and I hope we don't have any paid DLC anytime soon. I hope it's all quality of life, free update.
I think if they do, it won't be for like a year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it won't be until like they've made the money off of the cartridge itself. Like,
no,
type
that
of situation.
That makes sense. Also, I realized today that the two characters, Harvey and Pascal, the otter that they just added in for diving, it looked like Cheech and Chong.
Oh my god, they do.
Yeah, they are exactly Cheech and Chong. And I did some digging. Turns out they're modeled after Cheech and Chong.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, in a game as laid back as Animal Crossing, makes sense.
No, there are quite a few kind of sly allusions to things in that game. It's not just all shiny, happy for children. I mean, it's mostly all shiny, happy for children. But
I think Harvey's got it. Creepy vibe.
Harvey?
Harvey's got a creepy vibe.
Well, they did introduce him in that update on New Leaf where he just lived out of his van.
Yeah. And now he has an island where you can make people pose for pictures on it.
Well,
it's weird.
I mean, yeah, it is. Yeah, I suppose. But I'm glad they kept the character in there.
Yeah.
Because he's fine, he's funny.
You gotta have a little bit of a creepy vibe showing up every once in a while.
Oh yeah,
it interesting.
Oh yeah, get Zipper T Bunny in there.
Oh yeah, who is purposely creepy.
Oh, they absolutely made the Easter Bunny creepy for the game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he looks exactly like that Silent Hill mascot bunny.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Have you had to chase down the giant isopod?
Giant isopod.
Underwater.
No, I haven't.
It runs away from you and it is crazy hard to catch it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Cool. I've been keeping up with my collections and stuff. I have a couple of bugs left to get before I'm kind of caught up. I actually have an app on my phone that you can go through and kind of check off. It's like a big checklist kind of thing. And it's been really helpful, especially with it has a Bell's turnip tracker on it, so I can kind of predict when the stock market is going to be super high or whatever.
The stock market.
Sow Jones stock market, where you sell your turnips.
Oh, I gotta offload my turnips.
Oh yeah, you don't want to end up with a bunch of rotten turnips.
After today, the prices aren't good, isn't it?
Thursday evening is usually the cutoff. Friday, Saturday, unless it's a fluctuating week, it's
Yeah, I gotta sell my turnips when I get home.
Well, do you guys have anything, any other check-ems?
Do you want to talk about Unsolved Mysteries a little bit? I know we did last week, but we actually finished the series this week, which we burnt through all. There's only 6 episodes, and we burnt through them in probably a week, maybe less than a week.
Yeah.
It's so good. It is just really, really good. They picked really intriguing mysteries that I had not heard before. And I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts, so I've heard most of the stories. But these were unique and bizarre ones.
It may be kind of solvable, or at least be able to get some, you know, clues. Or
yeah, and they've already been getting tips.
Oh, really?
Yeah, credible tips for some of the... They, of course, haven't said what those are, but I saw a blurb, I think, on the Nerdist or something, that they're already... No, it was Vice. It was on Vice. That they're already getting credible tips from the show, which is cool.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, they didn't put any, like, alien abduction or anything like that into the season,
there's
right?
There's one UFO episode.
Oh, there is. Okay.
And it was a good one. Like, I can't say any of the episodes were weak.
Yeah.
They were all really interesting.
How much do you miss Robert Stack, though?
Oh, a lot. I mean, his narration, that's why there's not a narrator now in the new one,
yeah.
Because you can't top Robert Stack.
They were abducted by a UFO.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
One of the really good ones was a guy disappeared. He got a phone call. Somebody heard him get a phone call, and then he ran out of the house, and then he disappeared for like 7 days. And then they're looking around for him on top of a parking garage, and they notice... Oh, there's a hole in the roof in that building over there, in that hotel over there.
And there's flip-flops by the hole.
And then flip-flops by the hole. And then they go over to the hotel, they go where the hole is. There he is. He'd somehow fallen through the roof and died and had been laying in that unused room in that hotel for like a week.
Whoa!
And they don't know how he got there.
Because the way the hotel's laid out, it's impossible to jump.
The hotel was like a U-shape and this roof was in the middle.
Oh, that's weird.
Like, too far for him to jump unless he got a real good running start off of it.
And he was in flip-flops.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, then he's not... Yeah,
and his cell phone or his glasses weren't broken.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. That's really weird.
His body was, like, tore up.
Jeez.
But his glasses and his phone were fine.
Now, to be fair, they used to make cell phones a lot different than they do now.
Oh, yeah.
He had one of those Nokia beasts. So you could throw it off a roof.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know. That was probably one of my more favorite episodes. Yeah, it's just so weird.
That is very weird. Yeah.
It's just like a force picked him up and dropped him somewhere else.
There's like a shady business partner.
Yeah. The guy he works for won't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And like...
He like put a gag order on all the employees.
Really?
Huh. And tried to sue Netflix before the episode came out.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's something weird going on there.
Yeah, there's something going on there. Wow. Jeez.
But, yeah, seal of approval on Unsolved Mysteries.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Seal of approval on Unsolved Mysteries. I thought it was going to be the real seal.
Oh, no, no. Nope, it's the Jerry seal from now on.
Oh no. Do you want to talk about those couple episodes of Close Enough?
We probably should. It just came out today. Close Enough is the new adult animated comedy by the guy that did Regular Show.
Oh, okay.
A children's animated comedy. And like we said, we've only watched 1.5 episodes. They're like 11-minute, 2 episodes put together like a kid's cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very funny and almost too relatable.
Oh, really?
It's a 30-something couple and their kid just living their life.
With a divorced couple.
Yeah.
To save money so they can put her in the better school district.
Oh, jeez.
But there's one episode we watched where their kid is doing a sleepover at another kid's house, so they're free for the evening for the first time in forever. And it's about getting old. And it was incredibly relatable.
Wow.
They like are both on the couch in Snuggies watching British Bake Off on TV. And it's just like, that is
incredibly relatable. Yeah. Oh man.
But then their roommates tell them, you know, you got the whole night off and this is what you're going to do. And they go out to a club. They get in the car and the guy's like, I got my mix CD. I hope you guys like listening to Weezer.
Oh no. Oh my gosh.
You need to watch.
Yeah, I need to watch this one. Oh my gosh. And
it's not afraid of getting just as surreal as like regular show did.
Oh, good.
And the main voice actor is just J.G. Quintel again.
Oh, it is.
You know.
Yeah.
It's adult regular show, and that's fine.
And that's fine. Regular show was almost adult regular show.
Yeah.
From a certain point of view, it was.
Yeah. He was really like dialing it back for regular show, and it's nice to see him get more freedom to do what he was.
It's not like he goes ridiculous though either.
It's not like super vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
But just the episode about getting old is just like, oh my god. Because at first they're like, we can do some errands, like doing laundry and putting gas in the car. it's really good so far, but HBO Max, for some reason, it keeps getting out of sync with the audio and video.
It's weird.
Really?
And I never had that happen.
Yeah, huh. I looked it up on Reddit, and apparently we're not the only ones happening to, but it's really annoying.
Wow,
and
that's weird.
I hope they fix it soon, because I don't know how many more episodes I can watch without the audio
with the desync
right.
And everything. Yeah, weird. Very weird.
Talk about that movie we watched.
What movie?
That I mostly slept through.
Yeah, you fell asleep through it.
Speaking of being old.
I think I fell asleep for a little bit too, but it was still like what I saw of it was good. It was called Ghost Stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a
anthology.
Yeah, it was an anthology horror movie, a British anthology horror movie, which there's a lot of those.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah.
But this one had a cool connecting story about like a guy that debunks paranormal stuff going around. Like this guy he looked up to that did the same thing, who disappeared, gets a hold of him and says, these are the three cases I couldn't figure out.
Oh,
You figure them out so I can be at peace.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And that's the connecting tissue for all three of the different stories, which some of them were better than others, but
well, that's usually how it goes with these anthology things.
But they were all like pretty creepy and well done. And
had Martin Freeman in it?
Yeah, Martin Freeman was in it.
Oh, cool. Cool. Like him. He's all right. I watched a couple episodes of Friends.
I'm sorry.
I didn't watch a whole lot of Friends when it was actually airing. In fact, the only episode that I watched on television as it aired was the final episode of Friends. But I watched a couple episodes of season 2, and boy, I don't like Ross.
Oh no, yeah. He's bad.
He's the worst.
He is the whole, well, the Ross and Rachel thing sucks, but it's definitely more Ross than anything, right?
Oh yeah.
And it's not just us being in a kind of a different time period where the stuff that they were able to get away with on that was like, oh, we're just being cute and we're just being guys. Now comes off bad, right? It's not that. It's just that Ross sucks, right?
It's probably a little of both.
A little of both? Okay. Like, the only ones that I actually give a hoot, and I'm self-censoring, I give a hoot about are Joey and Phoebe. And they're like the ones that get the least amount of anything.
Yeah. We were looking at a Friends t-shirt at a store the other day, and I'm like, who is your favorite friend? And what did you say?
I said the sarcastic one.
Yeah, you said the sarcastic man. And I'm like, I was also always partial to Weird Girl. Because I did watch it a lot in syndication when it was like on Fox, like the same time.
I didn't have cable for a long time, so that's why what I watched.
And it was on like the same time around like between Simpsons.
Yeah,
and
I was gonna say, yeah, it came on. It was like what led into Simpsons.
Yep.
Yeah,
during the week. Yeah,
and I'm just like, you know, whatever.
good enough, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not getting up.
And I remember when it was like must see TV on NBC and like my mom watching it.
Yeah. I don't relate to any of their problems being 30 some, being the same age group that they are now.
Yeah.
That us now, what they were then. I don't relate to a single thing.
No.
Not even a little bit. Even when they tried tackling one of the more serious things where three of the friends don't make a whole lot of money and three of the friends are kind of loaded and they try to do something with it, but it just came off really hollow. And it involved Hootie and the Blowfish, but they didn't actually appear on the show.
Which you'd think if you're going to talk about, you know, a real life celebrity.
Yeah, you would get them on the show, but no, you just saw them sitting in a bad set looking at the stage while the licensed live show of Hootie and the Blowfish played in the background while rich friends enjoyed it.
I don't understand the resurgence, like why there is t-shirts, and like I get that it's a nostalgia thing, but it was never good.
It's a nostalgia thing, and I think it's easy to watch. I think it's that predictable, and I think
it's comforting.
It's super comforting. It's what The Office was. It's what Big Bang Theory is going to be in about 5 years. Once it's been off the air for a while and it gets a big, big, huge resurgence, you're going to see Big Bang Theory stuff pop up quite a bit. Bazinga.
Oh, boy. But I remember I was never like a big fan. Yeah. I would just watch it if it was on. Like,
I wouldn't even do that. Like I said, I watched the final episode. It was sophomore year of high school. I remember this because I was badgered into watching it because everyone in my art class watched Friends, and I didn't want to, I wanted to be able to join in the conversation. So I was like, okay, I don't know who any of these people are. Here's a wacky one driving a taxi cab, and I guess that's funny.
Why doesn't the Ross friend eat the other ones? He's clearly the largest one.
He's clearly the largest of the friends. What is that? What's that
from Futurama.
Futurama, yeah.
I was the same way about the Seinfeld finale. I didn't watch Seinfeld when it was on TV because I was
young,
12.
Yeah,
but I watched it.
I
did watch the finale.
Oh, I watched the Cheers finale. I think I was real young then. But yeah, same with Seinfeld. Same with
the only time I only have recently watched Seinfeld, like when it showed up on Hulu for the first time. That's when I watched the majority of the Seinfeld I know of.
I could loop this back around. Seinfeld, the final episode where they're on trial and their lawyer is like the Johnny Cochran talk fast guy. That is Cyborg's dad in Doom Patrol. And with that, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about some news.
Play the Seinfeld music as you go out. Hey, hope you guys liked listening to Weezer because that's what we played. It was Buddy Holly.
We are all in our mid-30s, so of course we played some Weezer.
That Blue album.
Yep. It's, well, one of the best. Still one of the best.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the more album... Growing up, I loved Weezer. I think everyone our age at one point or another loved Weezer. But, like, the more albums they put out, the more I realize Blue Album and Pinkerton were kind of flukes, maybe a little bit. I mean, part of Green Album, you know, that one where they sang with the Muppets, that was pretty good. But like,
and they had good ones on almost every album. They had at least one good song, except for Ratitude.
Hurley?
I never listened to Hurley.
Hurley's not great. Also, a very timely reference that they made their entire album about.
Does that one have Memories on it?
That, yes.
I like that song.
Yeah, Memories is all right.
It's kind of hits you in the bittersweet nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of sad.
It is. Well, it's Weezer.
Yeah.
All of their songs these days are a little sad.
I liked the Red album, most of it.
There's some interesting things on the Red album, but it seemed kind of pretentious.
Pork and Beans was good, and The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived was good.
See, I like the concept of The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived, but, like, the idea of it changing every 8 measures or whatever, but the execution I didn't like very much. I just thought it was like, oh, we know so many different types of music that all kind of sound similar. Look at us. We're going to do a cappella for 8 measures. Aren't we cool?
Of course, I haven't listened to it for, you know, 10 years, so.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they still put on a heck of a good live show.
I actually really liked Ratitude live. It was a lot of fun live.
But, yeah.
But boy, it's not good on the record.
Not so much. Isn't that the one that had the song with the rapper?
Oh, yeah.
Lil Wayne?
I thought it was Wheezy. Is that the same guy? I don't know.
Oh, no.
Wheezy Wayne.
Yeah, with Wheezy Wayne.
Featuring Wheezy Wayne. Yeah.
Wheezin' Wayne sounds like a toy that Meatwad would want on Aqua Teen.
Yeah.
To date myself even further.
Oh, wow. Weezer references and Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I'm going to guess we're in the 34 to 36 age range right in there. Hey, do you want to mention Space Ghost Coast to Coast while we're at it? The Good Seasons? The one with Beck?
You guys remember Beck?
Hey, remember Beck?
Beck was almost Gen X, so.
Almost.
We're almost a little too young for Beck.
Just a hair, but it would have been played as like, hey, we're going back to a couple years ago on our alternative rock station. We're going to play Loser by Beck.
I remember liking Green Day when I was like 9.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I had a Green Day album. I was never that. I mean, I liked their couple of songs that they had on the radio, but I was never a huge, huge, huge Green Day fan.
I really liked Green Day when I was. I remember the older kids in my karate class thinking it was cool that I liked Green Day.
I remember people thinking I was cool in marching band because I had the Waterboy soundtrack and it had like a bunch of weird old like CCR and like like these real deep cuts, you know, tracks. I forget who said it, but it was like, oh, wow, you listen to this kind of stuff? It's like, yeah, I do. It's definitely not because it was the Waterboy.
That's a real Bobby Hill moment for you. Yep. Also, that movie is funny.
You know what? It's not a bad movie.
I watched it not too long ago with my dad on Netflix, and I was like, you know what? That was pretty funny.
Yeah. That was kind of near the end of Sandler's like thing before he kind of gave up and just started making crap. But yeah, Waterboy's fine.
I think I saw that in theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You can do it. That's the soundboard one we need.
Yeah, we need. Okay, I'll add that in for next week.
And, you know, maybe just some Adam Sandler noises. Yeah. You know, the ones he do.
Oh, I'm trying to think of Adam Sandler noises.
Oh, God, I know like so much of his old comedy albums because my older brother would listen to it all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, goat.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Hot
water burn baby.
Oh my God. I remember watching Happy Gilmore way earlier than I probably should have.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a good movie.
I think Happy Gilmore, between that and The Wedding Singer, oddly enough, I'm not usually a romantic comedy guy.
That's a good one.
But The Wedding Singer is just oddball enough. It's more a little bit on the comedy side than the romantic side. And again, really good music.
I've never seen that one.
Put it on the list. Yeah. Put it on the list for that podcast that we do every 6 months.
I have seen a lot of those 90s. Adam Sandler movies, but not that one for some reason.
I think last year OCUM did the Wedding Singer musical.
I think they did. Yeah.
I didn't see it.
But. Same here. But yeah. Oh, have you ever seen Airheads?
No.
Well,
I've had the candy.
Oh well, you're halfway there.
It's very good.
Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, and Adam Sandler are a metal band that want to get their record played on a radio station and decide to hijack it with squirt guns filled with hot sauce. It's great. It's one of those that they would play at 2 o'clock in the morning on Comedy Central, like 3 or 4 times on a loop just to fill air. But like, it was, like, it's great.
Like Scorched.
Scorched, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bottle Rocket. That's one that they played a lot on Comedy Central.
I've never seen that one. Yeah. That one's...
And Half Baked. Yeah. They played a lot of Half Baked.
Bottle Rocket is it the Coen Brothers?
That's Coen Brothers. Yeah, okay. It's the like one of the first ones they did. Yeah. But, yeah.
Boy, we got really off topic there.
We did, and I love it. That was great.
We're supposed to be covering the news.
News. All right. So so where do we want to start on our news this afternoon,
our
evening,
news
morning?
Journey.
Yes, our journey into the news side of things.
Let's talk about that Donkey Kong Country.
Let's talk about that Donkey Kong Country. Donkey Kong Country is going to be coming to the Nintendo Switch Online, which is great. It's a
finally.
Good game.
Finally.
Finally. Took them long enough.
But, you know, the Nintendo Switch Online, Super Nintendo and NES service, they update once every 6 months.
It seems like it. You know what? Is this release coming relatively soon to the original release date of the Nintendo Online package? Is it around the time that people are going to start re-upping for this?
That would be September, I think, is when it started.
Okay, so not quite there. Okay. All right. Well, I guess, and that was my prediction for Donkey Kong Country. I thought they were going to kind of front load like the re-up time with a bunch of games that people would actually want to play, and not like well, like the other two games that got announced with Donkey Kong Country.
Also, Natsume Championship Wrestling, which I've never played, and I don't know why anyone would want to.
I have no clue. Not a single clue. Yeah.
Not a classic wrestling game.
No.
I didn't know it existed.
No, this one doesn't have Macho Man Randy Savage or Big Boss Man or Donk the Clown. Is that his name?
I think so.
Donk the Clown?
It's like that... There's a WWF game for, like, the Saturn that has, like, Doink the Clown?
Doink the Clown.
Doink the Clown.
That's
and,
it.
Like, Undertaker and...
Yeah.
Some, like, kind of racist Asian caricature of a person.
Well, is it the Great Yokozuma?
I think so.
Yeah. I know an awful lot about 80s wrestling for never watching...
Jake the Snake.
Yeah. Yep.
I think we played it at that barcade in Cleveland.
I think, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, it was on arcade, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
At B-Sides in Cleveland.
Yep.
Which I heard either closed down or doesn't have the arcade machines anymore.
Oh, really?
One of the two.
Oh, bummer. I was kind of let down by that place, if I remember correctly. It's like, it was touted to be like a 16-bit, but it wasn't.
Yeah, their games weren't on free play. Which
it was a bro bar
sucks.
With a couple of arcade machines.
Yeah, and the bartender gave me a hard time for not tipping enough.
Yeah, but hey, that's when we went and saw the Aquabats, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I wasn't going to tip, it just, like, I wasn't at the point yet. Like, the tip was coming, I just haven't given it to you yet.
But anyway, Donkey Kong Country, it's a classic game. I'm probably going to sit and play through it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well. It's free on there, so.
I wish we got 2. It's the better. It's the best one of the trilogy.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe someday. Maybe in 6 years, they'll put it on the service.
Eventually, yeah. In 12 years, by the time the Switch is over, and it's last cycle of games, that's when they'll put Donkey Kong Country 2 on there, you know.
We forgot the NES game.
Oh.
The Immortal. A game so good, there's an Angry Video Game Nerd episode about it.
I don't know what that is. Was it like part fighting game or something?
No, it has weird, like, button mashy turn-based battles.
That's weird.
It's like an old Electronic Arts game. I have no idea why they picked it up.
It's like a wizard fighting a snake man or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like isometric and like... ruthless. It will just kill you out of nowhere.
Really?
Like, in the starting room, if you don't move soon enough, a worm eats you.
Oh, wow. Huh.
It's bizarre. Who chose this and why?
Well, I'm going to have to try it just to say that I've tried it, but yeah, I don't think I'm going to be playing that one.
Like, it's not a first-party Nintendo game. Like, they had to ask somebody about the Immortal. Like, why?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Also, you're going to put a Natsume game on there and it's not Harvest Moon?
Right, right.
But anyway, that's enough complaining about Nintendo nonsense that doesn't matter.
That's okay. Yeah, hey, a little bit of complaints every now and then doesn't hurt anything. Let's keep talking about Nintendo-esque games. I know Tetris isn't a strict Nintendo game, but
they made some Tetris, it's related.
It's related. So I guess there's going to be a live play Tetris primetime game show that you play on your smartphone coming soon.
Like HQ Trivia, but they probably won't mismanage it.
I would hope
oh,
not.
If you read what happened to HQ, like, yeah. It's bad.
Oh, they
mismanaged the heck out of it. And it was such a good thing, too.
It was a good concept that they just, it's like every decision they wanted to make with that, they picked the wrong one.
Yeah. And they had a great host. Scott Rogowski was pretty funny and a good host, and they treated him like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he left.
Yeah.
And I don't think they ever recovered after they lost Scott.
No, no. But this Tetris thing is going to be interesting. It sounds kind of like that Tetris 99 kind of, you're playing a bunch, you're a Tetris screen against a bunch of other people.
Yeah. Which I'm stoked for. I love Tetris.
I'm terrible at it, but I'll play it once or twice. Why not?
I've almost won Tetris 99 before. Been number two.
Nice. Nice.
I haven't played it in forever, but I really liked Tetris 99.
Yeah. I couldn't break 30, but I think Jordan got up to like 7 or 6 at one point.
It's a sweet game.
Yeah.
I mean, Tetris is like the best game ever made. It's just so perfect in its design.
Yeah. It's a good game.
And, like, the game show concept is cool. I like this kind of idea, like, making a game show accessible to anybody who... Like, everybody wants to be on Double Dare, but not everybody gets to be on Double Dare. Like,
yeah.
Like, making this, like, this game show that everybody can be a part of is such a cool concept.
It's a really cool concept, yeah. I'm really kind of excited to see where the development of it goes and how it's going to work out.
Microsoft did it for a short time. They did that 1 vs. 100.
Oh,
they
yeah.
did a live version of that on the Xbox. I never got to play it, but it looked really cool.
And yeah, that would be pretty cool. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, well, hey, talking about iOS games. So there's been a couple of updates to Pokemon Go. We haven't talked about that in a while. I'm still playing it.
I'm still, you know, I pop in there every once in a while. I'm out of item space, and I have so many Pokeballs I don't think I'll ever run out.
Do you remember when there used to be, like, a serious drought of Pokeballs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, ridiculous. But anyway, they've added some really interesting quality of life stuff here recently. They've, because of the COVID the quarantine and everything, they've been making a lot of changes so that it is easier for players who have decided to quarantine or self-isolate can still get as much out of the game as possible. One of the things that they haven't implemented up until now are Team Rocket battles that before you would have to physically go to a Pokemon stop and spin a stop when it's available in order to initiate one of those. Now there are actually hot air balloons that float over the screen every once in a while that will give you basically a randomized Team Rocket battle on a daily basis or a couple times a day or something like that.
I love the way they announced it. They sent a fake email.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up.
Like it had leaked, like you accidentally had gotten an email that was supposed to go to Team Rocket.
And then like 2 minutes later, you get another email saying, I'm sorry, I think you may have received an email by mistake. Don't read that.
Yeah. It's a fun way to announce.
Yeah. Here. You know, the Pokemon, Niantic and the Pokemon Company catch a lot of flack from players online because of some of the decisions they do. Some of it's warranted, some of it's not. There's one guy on Twitter that every time there is any kind of announcement from the Pokemon Go Twitter account, the only thing he tweets is, give me a Caterpie with a cowboy hat, put it in the game. That's his entire Twitter account.
Someday they'll do it. They got to.
Eventually, yeah.
I mean, I kind of want that, too.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. But no, this implementation is pretty cool. And along with that, they just announced today that they are going to be, for a limited time, putting in specialty Team Rocket battles with Jesse and James from the anime in a special Meowth hot air balloon.
The only characters to walk in both the anime and the games.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's so cool. That's how good they are. They get to live in both worlds.
Yeah, they transcend from one reality to another. Yeah. So, but no, I think it's cool. I think it's kind of a neat thing that they're going to be doing. If you're listening to this on WZMO currently, tomorrow, Sunday, there's going to be a special event where those balloons are going to be popping up all over the place from like 11:30 to 5 or something like that. So,
yeah,
it's there if you need, if you want. Sure,
I saw a Team Rocket balloon. I clicked on it. Team Rocket leader Arlo came out.
Oh, and just there's your problem.
Completely leveled all of my guys.
Arlo is difficult. Yeah. I have the most trouble with Arlo.
He has like 700 combat or 7,000 combat power Pokemon. And like my 3,000 guys aren't cutting it.
Yeah. Yeah. That Arlo's tough. The other two aren't too bad. Sienna and Cliff, the one with the Pokeball goatee. That guy looks so dumb looking.
It doesn't help that I usually just go with the ones they automatically pick for me. Because they're usually good, but they gave me all like ones that didn't type match well.
Oh, weird. Yeah. Yeah, Arlo usually takes me a couple tries before I can get them. But...
Oh, speaking of iOS games, I didn't put this on the board, but they're doing a Crash Bandicoot one.
Oh, they are?
They're
cool.
Making a Crash Bandicoot Infinite Runner, which actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, okay. I can see it.
Like, from the angle, the camera angle that you play Crash Bandicoot is almost, you know, the same as, like, a temple run.
Sure, sure.
So, I think it's a good fit. It's being made by King, the people that make Candy Crush. So, that's not great, but...
It
could still be good. I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know I like that Crash Bandicoot.
But no, that's cool. I'll try it. I played that Sonic the Hedgehog.
That Sonic.
I played gotta that go. There Sonic runner.
Gotta go fast. Yep. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Man, everybody had a runner at one point. There was a Tomb Raider one.
Yeah. No Mario runner.
Well, it was Mario Run.
I guess that is a Mario runner.
I mean, it's not a 3D one.
Yeah, that's true. You got me there. But yeah.
Mario Kart kind of is. I mean, you can't stop. I still play the heck out of that Mario Kart.
Like, really?
I'm fully aware it's not great and it's awfully predatory. But if the main like loop, the gameplay loop is good.
Oh, okay, cool.
The core in there, there's a good game in there that's just bogged down by weird decisions.
Huh. See, I've actually been playing a lot of Mortal Kombat Mobile. It's a 3v3 fighting, but it's basically just tapping.
It's like that Injustice one.
Kind of like the Injustice one. And I'll tell you what, I think I like it better than Mortal Kombat 11. I think I'm enjoying it way more. And I'm deep, deep into that game. And they give enough of the currency.
I'll bet they spell it with a K.
Sure do. Coins.
Coins.
Yep.
Kajems,
yeah.
Crystals.
Yes. But no, they give out enough of the currency that it doesn't feel bad.
Combat coin.
Combat time.
Stop trying to make that a thing, Sonya. Combat time can't be a thing.
I should put that on the board, the soundboard. Combat time!
When they did an animated series, that they tried to make that Sonya's...
Oh.
Was it Sonya Blade or was it everybody?
No, it was Sonya Blade.
They tried to make that her catchphrase.
Every time they did anything, she would scream, combat time. And it was like, she would put on like a fake gruff voice when she'd yell it. So it was like, combat time! Also, they made Striker a main character in that?
Nobody likes Striker.
Nobody likes Curtis Striker.
Except for me when I was like 9. He had a cool gun.
I do like Cabal, or Cable, the guy with the hook swords and the gas mask.
Oh, yeah, that guy's cool.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
I like the cowboy they put in the new one.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Black is really cool.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like hardly any of the character designs in Mortal Kombat, but I like the cool cowboy.
Yeah, I like the weirdos. I like the mobile game has a ninja called named Trimmer. I don't remember that one from any of the games, but apparently it's a...
I thought you were going to say Trevor.
Trevor,
Trevor,
yes.
The ninja. I always liked Baraka.
Baraka's all right.
He's kind of a weird dude.
He's kind of a weirdo, yeah. I like that they retroactively made Kano Australian after the movie.
Yeah.
Edo, baby.
I always like the forearm lady, Shiva.
Shiva, yeah.
She's cool.
Shiva's really cool. She's in the MK11, and... yeah, they updated her model, and looks, I mean, she plays really well.
But, like, most of the main characters, like, oh, dumb.
Yeah.
Hat, sharp hat.
Sharp hat, man. Well, I like in the story mode, and all the characters, you know, fighting games, they have intros where they talk to each other, and it's all, like, pre-canned stuff. And they've given Kung Lao, like, a serious inferiority complex, because it's like... Yeah, I am the cousin of the great savior of everybody, Liu Kang. I'm number two.
I'm Luigi.
He is. He is. Kung Lao is Luigi.
Samantha, who's your favorite Mortal Kombat?
I don't know. I can't think.
You can't.
I'm too hot.
It is hot in here.
It is getting a little warm in the old studio.
Who did you pick more often than hot? The vampire that's in the GameCube one?
A GameCube.
Or it was also on PlayStation 2. Nintara or Ninjara.
Nintara.
I think I did like Ninjala. That vampire lady with the wings.
What?
The one vampire lady?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
She was cool.
Yeah.
I wish they would bring her back.
I don't like Bo Rai Cho.
The drunk puke fart boy?
I don't like the fart man.
Booger man, basically.
Yeah, he's basically Booger man. Ancient god Booger man.
The drunk puke fart boy?
Yeah. Didn't care for him. All right, well, hey, we have time for one more news article.
Oh, wow,
we
blew way too much of our news time already.
It's fine, it's loosey-goosey.
Yeah, let's talk about Ready Player 2.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Yes, let's talk about
the
this.
The greatest writer of our time and Columbus native Ernest Cline.
Ernest Cline.
Has decided to go back to the Ready Player 1 well and grace us with a novel sequel to Ready Player One, creatively titled Ready Player Two.
I'm sure he took all the constructive criticism to heart.
Oh, I'm sure
he did. I'm sure it definitely... Okay, you know what? I will give this movie a pass if all of the references he makes to pop culture are all based on sequels.
Oh, no, it's a book.
No, but I mean like a book.
Oh,
In his book. Because the book also had references to pop culture.
Is meta about sequels?
Yes.
That would be the smart man's way to tackle this.
Like the DeLorean's there, but it's only the DeLorean from Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what pop culture? Like, if he called it Ready Player 2 Electric Boogaloo, that would win a couple points in my book.
Yeah.
For the book, I would say. Okay, what pop culture sequels? Like, there's got to be an Empire Strikes Back thing in there, right?
Yeah. The NES sequel to The Goonies 2.
Goonies 2 with the mermaid?
Yeah.
Yep.
And a very good chiptune rendition of The Goonies Are Good Enough.
But this is just going to be another hack job book, right?
Oh, I'm sure. The first one was not good.
It wasn't? No, I read it and it wasn't great.
I have seen bits and pieces, read bits and pieces of it. I thought the movie was fine.
The movie...
It wasn't outwardly offensively bad.
It was watchable.
Yeah.
Was it, though?
I thought so.
Yeah.
See, I don't like the actor they played as... They picked as whatever Ready Player Man.
Player One.
Player One Man. Two, they made the Iron Giant a weapon...
Yeah.
In it.
Well, he shouldn't have even been in it.
It should have been Ultraman.
With. Yeah.
Yeah. In the book, it was Ultraman. But no. The whole point of Iron Giant was that the giant robot was not a gun. And here he is with his laser eyes and rocket hands just punching everybody.
Doing awesome fight moves.
Yeah. It's just going to be more hackneyed crap.
Well, yeah, what movie are they going to have to recite to find the egg?
Find the egg.
Find my egg. And that guy that was like supposed to... Oh, what was the guy that created the Oasis's name? I don't remember, but it was very clear in the movie Eggman. That they wanted... Eggman.
Yeah.
That they wanted... they wanted him to appear like he was on the autism spectrum in some way.
Yeah.
Like, just really ham-fisted and...
Cringy.
Cringy.
Mm-hmm. Bazinga.
No, who asked for this? Who wanted this book?
Ernest Cline's checkbook.
Yeah, I guess.
Wanted asked for this.
Who's going to buy it?
If it gets onto someone's best reader list like it did last time, you know, if it gets into Loot Crate like it did last time, they sold so many copies of Ready Player One through Loot Crate. It was a Loot Crate giveaway. That's how they got so many. They could say, we got rid of this many copies of this book.
Because they put them all in Loot Crates. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe he has evolved as a writer. I'm not.
I heard Armada was bad. That was the second book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, then, yeah, no. This is going to be more crap. It's going to be more bad.
He's from Columbus, right? I claimed that earlier.
He's from Ohio. I don't know if he's from Columbus.
Now that I think about it, yeah, I mean, I'm not 100% sure
he's from Columbus. I know he's from Ohio. For some reason, I thought it was like around Akron or something.
Probably.
And they just picked Columbus because it was the capital of Ohio. Soon to be Flavortown.
Oh,
will that be part of will that be part of the book?
Yeah. Now it's Flavortown.
Well, they have to create a revision of Ready Player One, the book.
Yeah. Ashland, Ohio.
Ashland, okay. Oh yeah. Right on. I know where that is. I've been there.
Ashland's own.
Ernest Cline.
Ernest Christie Cline. That's his middle name.
Oh, well. Good to know.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Welcome to Flavortown. I need to recharge my VR crystal so I can jump into the Space Invaders zone and get my 3D Doritos so I can pilot the Gundams in Mario Kart.
Everybody in Space Invaders in Asteroids use that little pointer arrow guy as their ship, but me, I secretly have the code to the R-Wing from Star Fox 64. Which I've played to completion.
Every 3 weeks.
Every 3 weeks, just to keep my reaction times sharp. Also, Doc Brown is there.
The YouTuber Jenny Nicholson did a really
video. She really did.
About like a girl, Ready Player One for girls.
Uh-huh.
And it's like all the like old girly properties like My Little Pony, She-Ra, and... It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was really good.
So get ready for this upcoming list of pop culture phenomenon that you can buy in book form.
Oh, should we buy it and read it and then talk about it on the show? Are we going to have to do that?
Oh, that's a lot of energy.
Is one of us is going to have to do it, right?
That's a lot of energy to expend on a bad book.
Yeah, I suppose. All right, well, hey, with that, I think we have reached our time for the week, so thank you all for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. You can also go find us on social medias, whether that be Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram, at nerdoverloadnow.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline. Leave us a message about your favorite pop culture property at 586-372-8020, and I just realized I forgot to check the voicemail box this week. So.
Oh, well, hey, that means we'll be able to double up next week. There we go. All right, you can also find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you can find podcasts. And finally, I would like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Could this episode be any more over?